A very special thanks to our $5 fans, Andrew Anker, Carl Nelson, Stephen Fox, David McCreath, Brendan Adkins, Lynn Farley, Randy Ost, Jared May, Caleb Sexton, Oscar Van Housk, Philip Karpiak, and Catherine Rotondo.
This episode of Let's Make Mistakes is brought to you by RareWire, I Want My Name, and Typekit.
Woo-woo!
Hello, Jesse.
Hi, Mike. What's up?
I'm in a very good mood, but I can't tell anybody why.
You're never in a good mood.
Yet I am today.
Huh. What a momentous and rare occasion.
But the world will find out soon enough.
Is it because could you be in a good mood because we have a fun guest on the show today?
You know what? You got me. That's exactly why I'm in a good mood, Jesse.
Is it because it's the last episode of Lady Vember?
That could also be it.
You're ready for this nonsense to be over?
I so am.
You're not ready for it to roll into Lady Zember?
Whoa. We didn't introduce you
Who's our guest? I'm overselling it.
Today, for the last episode, the season finale of Lady Vember, I brought my good friend Clark O'Clark, or Christopher Clark, on the show. I realize he is not a lady, but
you could only find three ladies.
No. I want gender balance.
You know, that overqualifies you for throwing a conference, a tech conference in this town. Three ladies.
I know. But I figured if the whole point of Lady Vember was to get some more lady listeners, we would have something.
I was wondering what the point
was. That ladies enjoy, and ladies enjoy Clarko.
That's what I hear, mostly from you. But
Look at you. You're a tall Australian person.
That's also what I hear from you.
Do they make short Australian persons?
Not that I've ever seen. Or I try not to befriend them.
You don't really have a lot. I'm like your only short friend, aren't I?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Is it just dangerous closer to the ground in Australia? Is that why you guys are built tall?
Yeah. And we're like a particularly racist country. So we extend that to short people.
Oh, good. We're going to get along great.
Yeah. Like the Randy Newman song? That's a Randy Newman song, right? Am I messing this up?
No, that's the Toy Story thing.
You think you're Paul Anka?
No. No, short people got no reason to live. Was that not Randy Newman?
Is this something your mom just sang to you when you were a kid?
No, I'm looking this up on the internet right now.
You're fine. Anyway, how are you, Clarko?
I'm very well, thanks.
It's nice to see you.
I haven't seen you in a while.
We pass by each other every once in a while in the morning on our way to work, I assume.
Yeah, we are walkie commuters.
I believe we are both gathering steps.
Yeah. That is our number one function in life.
And I believe that you work at Fitbit.
Because gathering steps is my number one function in life.
I like gathering steps.
Mm.
I lost my Fitbit like a year ago.
Oh, I'm on like my fourth or fifth.
There's just no way of obtaining another
one. No, you don't really. I think of it more as a subscription model. In fact, that's not a bad idea that you guys just had like a subscription model.
Like AppleCare Plus.
Right, like every four months you send somebody another Fitbit.
We come out with one every 4 months anyway, so that wouldn't be bad.
I feel like you'd get a lot of flack for that from like environmentalists and cheapos being like, you're just making these so that they break in 4 months.
Well,
it's planned obsolescence.
To be fair, I don't think that they're designed to be lost.
Mm-hmm.
They're just lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Truth.
Or more likely, I think, can they survive a wash cycle?
Some of them can.
Some of them meaning some models, or some of them are just lucky?
Some models can. Because the ones that do floor climb, which is great in San Francisco because we got so many hills everywhere, but the ones that tell you how many flights of stairs you've taken every day, those have an altimeter in them, which needs air to function. So those are not sealed against the elements.
So the ones that you clip on your belt,
one of those has an altimeter in it.
The Ultra.
We don't sell that one anymore. That's,
what?
Yeah.
I just got this not too long ago.
The Ultra? We got the...
This.
That's the one. That's the one.
The one. I'm sorry. I had the Ultra. The Ultra was the one that looked like a...
Yeah, I
paper clip.
That's an ultra.
One that I had. That's
like an extreme paperclip.
Mm-hmm. So this is the one.
That's the one. And that one has an altimeter in it. But the other, some of the ones that don't have the altimeter, so they don't have air holes, they're pretty waterproof.
This one is not waterproof.
Correct. I'd call it water resistant.
I'm not used to that word, altimeter. Is that? Are you saying it that way?
It's a tall people word, Jesse.
Altimeter?
Yeah, I mean, do you pronounce it differently than other people, or is that like straight up how it's pronounced? I have to wonder about that with you, Clarko.
I don't think I've ever heard anyone say it. I've seen it written a bunch of times.
You just say it a lot?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I got 14,000 steps today. What do you have?
I got nothing because I woke up really late and I took the Muni to work.
Oh, man.
I think I have 6,000. Seven.
Here's how sick this thing is. The other day, I left home and I had to, like, I was running late for work. So I ran out of the house and I realized that I forgot it. So I got on the train.
Because the steps don't count, so you may as well not take them.
Exactly. Well, this isn't going to count.
Yeah.
So fuck it. I'm calling an Uber.
Clarko, is there a way of entering in steps if you have forgotten your Fitbit at home?
That's frowned upon.
Can you not do that?
You can do it, but it's not as fun.
It is, and it's frowned upon.
In the Fitbit community?
Well, it's because once you break that seal, it's like when you're drinking and you go to the bathroom for the first time.
To throw up?
No, not yet.
Oh.
By the way, Maya was on the show a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
She listens to this, you know.
But she's drunk, right?
So the first time you go to the bathroom, you want to hold that off as long as possible because after that, you're going every 5 minutes. And I totally forgot what point I was making.
You're talking about breaking the seal on cheating.
Right.
I would think it's more like actual cheating when you're drinking. When you go in for a tactical chunder to clear your stomach so you can drink more.
No, that's just smart.
That's not an eating disorder.
Not at all.
It's just logic. This is Lady Vember, and now we're talking about...
That's eating science.
Forcing yourself to throw up with Clarko Clark. I never use your real name. That's do people at work call you Chris?
Nobody does. I introduced myself to someone today in a meeting because he was brand new. And I was like, oh, I'm Chris Clark. And his name was also Chris. So he was like, cool, that'll be easy to remember. And then someone else in the room was like, don't you call yourself Clarko? I'm like, yeah, but I never introduced myself that way.
Where did you get that name from, Clarko?
There was a kid in my fourth grade class called Eugen Tay.
Mm-hmm.
And he really, really liked making Australian nicknames. And you put O on the end of anything in Australia to shorten it. Journalist becomes Journo. Afternoon becomes Arvo.
Arvo?
That doesn't make any sense. But yeah, Clark becomes Clarko. Also, there are like
you
five Chris's.
You shorten it by adding a syllable.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
But there are like five Chris's in my class. So everyone
Australian
had to
math.
Have a name.
Yeah.
Chris O'Grady became Ogre.
So it wasn't Chris O and Clarko?
Mm-mm.
It's very interesting for everybody, I'm sure.
I know.
I guess now because of internet, I have a lot of friends that go by kooky nicknames.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've got C-Bounds. Shirt, Sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a strange phenomenon, people calling themselves goofy names.
Yeah. But nowadays there's a famous DJ named Chris Clark, so he's going to like always be beating me on the Google hits. There's an Australian rules football player called something Clarko. So mm-hmm. I get Instagram tagged with him a bunch of times. And it's like, I don't play sports. So that's, he's murdering my image.
I'm still winning on the Google hits. I got Jesse Char locked down. What about you, Mike?
There's another Mike Montero out there. He's a photographer in New England. Does wedding photography.
So you are most definitely the evil twin.
I am the evil twin.
Does he have a mustache?
No, he does not.
Wow.
That's just so... Does he wear like a white robe and play harp also?
That would be awesome, actually. But no, no such luck. Mm. I'm sure he's a very nice person.
Yeah.
We've never talked.
There's another Jessie Char because she married into the family. Yeah.
That sucks.
I do.
Sabotage that.
Oh, you know.
I do get every... I get every piece of mail that's sent to Brazil, though, in my Gmail account.
Every piece of mail that's sent to Brazil nationwide?
Yep.
Wow.
Because I have a very common Portuguese last name, therefore Brazilian last name. They just beat us on on the amount of people. So,
so Mike, I want to.
So all of Brazil thinks they have my Gmail account.
Well, they do.
I get all of Jesse's mail just delivered to my house.
Well, it's
easier. Oh, are you using that service?
No, she's using that service where it just arrives at my house, and then I throw out the junk mail, and she comes and collects the good stuff.
Are you serious?
Clarko lives in a house, and I can have things shipped there. So I have things shipped there so that they just sit on, you know, they get delivered, because I can't really have things delivered to my apartment since it's like all gates and stuff and hobos. But then they get my address, and then I get like Oriental Trading Company catalogs, lots of dress catalogs, probably.
Lots of furniture catalogs.
Lots of furniture. All the girl things.
The Victoria's Secret isn't for you, though. I think it's for a previous tenant.
It's very strange.
Let's take a time out now to thank one of our sponsors, Typekit.
Oh, Typekit. We all use Typekit, right? You use Typekit, Clarko?
I don't use it every day, but I've certainly used it.
Everybody uses Typekit. Do you know why everybody uses Typekit?
Because everybody needs Typekit.
Because they have a fantastic selection of fonts, and it's incredibly easy to use.
Love Typekit.
So go to typekit.com, sign up for a free account, and start adding 1,000 fonts to your blog right now.
All at the same time.
All different.
It's good design practice.
You can make every single letter a different font.
Have you ever tried using web fonts without Typekit?
Yes.
It blows a lot.
Yeah, it really does. I have installed fonts on this thing, and then, yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, and then you go and convert them into other formats, which is probably illegal.
Yeah, it's the worst.
So hooray, Typekit.
Hooray, Typekit. Doing the Lord's work.
So you're, so lady things. Mm-hmm. You get lady things delivered to your house.
Constantly.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out a segue into Goldilocks here.
Well, I mean, I was going to ask you, Mike, you said that you're very happy today. Did something happen on the internet? Like, what is fueling this?
No. This is actually not about the internet at all. Not that I'm going to tell anybody, because my happiness is so rare that I keep it for myself.
Is it an underpants thing?
Kind of. You know when the elastic is just right?
Oh, yeah. I hear you.
Lady Vember.
We're going to talk about shaving soon.
Okay.
You can just tune out.
The ladies shave too, just different parts.
Not so different.
You wanted to talk about Goldilocks. I am not really clear on what has happened today.
So
something about Beastie Boys.
Man, I tried to ignore this for a while, and then...
Really? Did you try to ignore it?
I did. I actually did try to ignore it. And then Honan pulled me into it last night, and...
He's the guy with the hair, right?
Yeah, he's got the weird hair.
Yeah.
And then I got all upset about it. So...
Can you tell me what happened without revealing which side you're on?
I'm going to... probably not.
Okay.
I'll try to sum it up.
Okay.
So there's this startup toy manufacturer.
Mm-hmm.
I think they may specifically cater in toys for girls.
Mm-hmm.
And they did like some Kickstarter campaign a while back. And apparently they make interesting enough videos that people share them. And then a couple days ago, they released a new video and they used the Beastie Boys girls in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And the video is, I haven't seen it actually, but I have an opinion on it. And that's okay because the internet.
Mm-hmm.
So girls, if anybody remembers, back from License to Ill, the lyrics are incredibly like misogynistic.
Mm-hmm.
You can argue that it's a parody in and of itself already.
Mm-hmm.
You could certainly argue that the feelings that they had towards women, if that song were real, certainly evolved in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So Goldilocks recorded their own version of the song. I think that's worth mentioning. They didn't just drop in the Beastie Boys version. They recorded their own. And they the video is supposedly about girls' empowerment to this song. And then at the end, they try to sell you some new toy. They did not contact the Beastie Boys for permission to use the song. And they got contacted by the... I should throw apparently in front of every sentence because I'm...
Hearsay.
This is all hearsay, and I have absolutely no knowledge of copyright or trademark. So the Beastie Boys lawyers contacted Goldie Blox and said, hey, what's the deal with this? Tell us what's going on. To which Goldie Blox filed a lawsuit against the Beastie Boys, which from what I understand, and actually Andy Bio wrote a great post on this today, from which I understand is common practice when somebody accuses you or comes close to accusing you of
sue or be sued.
Right. Anyway, the internet did what it did, being that the internet is filled with copyright and trademark experts, and started opining their opinions on this. It's also worth stating that in Adam Yauch's will, he specifically prohibited the use of his image or anything he ever created, the commercial use of those things.
Can you do that when your other bandmates are still alive?
I mean, maybe not, but you can at least request it. I don't know.
Sure.
You can request it. And again, hearsay, I have a feeling that there was an agreement about this before it made it into the will.
Yeah, from what I was reading, because they had released some sort of like an open letter to Goldie Blox being like, hey, we just agreed a long time ago that we were not going to use our music for commercial use.
Right.
So that was why we were asking you about it. The sue or be sued thing is so weird to me. That actually happened to a company I worked at before we got sued from a company who had stolen our logo. Because they caught wind. Like, I think that one of us like had tweeted about it, and then they were just like, uh-oh, we're suing you. And then no matter what, it just costs you buckets of money, so, no matter what you want to do.
So apparently the suit against the Beastie Boys happened so quickly after the Beastie Boys contacted Goldie Blox that the consensus is that they had this all planned out, and that suit was ready from the get-go. Like, that thing was just sitting there waiting to be filed.
I know, like, nothing about how law works, aside from what I've learned in Ally McBeal, which I'm sure is all completely false. Look, it's Lady Vember.
It's mostly just Mad Libs, right? You just take a suit and you write in the name of the plaintiff and you write in...
But I actually don't understand, like, it just makes me think, like, wow, that's so messed up.
Well,
it's so messed up that people can do that.
See, so Andy Bio, who we've had on the show, by the way...
And who's lovely.
He is a lovely human being. He wrote a post about just trying to explain the legalities and the legal precedents for everything that was going on here.
Mm-hmm.
And he mentioned in the post, and here I'll tell you how I feel about this. This may not be illegal per se, but it's crass.
Mm-hmm.
It's just wrong.
Which thing is wrong? Them parodying the Beastie Boy song?
Using somebody's song when they don't want it used.
Yeah. I can understand, like, being like a fun, creative person. Like, I understand when you have like a cool idea for something, like somebody's like, oh, wouldn't it be neat if we like took that song and changed the lyrics to this? And everybody's like, that would be so fun. And then they do it. But you just have to be so careful about that stuff, especially when you are selling something.
Yeah. When you're not Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
Nobody's excited about your parody.
Does Weird Al get permission to do those parodies?
Yes.
I honestly don't know.
He does.
Does he?
because there was a kerfluffle over a Lady Gaga song a couple years ago, where what he does is like he before he writes a song, he does ask permission. If he doesn't get permission, I think that he still writes it but doesn't sell it. He just like makes a song. So he did do like a Lady Gaga song, but just like put it up on the internet and didn't make any money off of it.
And but I bet half the time he's making it so that he can be like, hey, I wrote it anyway. Here it is. Do you like it? And like,
yeah,
go for a second round.
That's
of
actually
permission.
What had happened was that they were just like, we'll give you permission if you tell us what it is. And he's like, okay, well, I'm just going to write it. And so I think that it ended up getting released. But generally, because there is another thing where like Eminem wouldn't let him, maybe it wasn't Eminem, I think it was somebody else, maybe Kanye or something, like wouldn't let him do a parody.
All white rappers look alike to me.
Gaga.
It's true. Eminem. But he does get permission. I think because that is how he makes a living. So he's got to be on point about that stuff. And he does sell a fair amount of music for a strange curly haired man who plays accordion.
I'm sorry, I'm being a bad host. Clarko.
Hey, Clarko.
Would you like to proffer an opinion?
About Weird Al Yankovic?
Let's get back to Goldie Blox.
The Goldie Blox thing? It is crass to like to do any kind of derivative work of someone who has explicitly said, I don't want you to. But really, like all artists will say, I'd prefer it if you didn't. Most of the time, they're not dead, so it doesn't feel as dirty to go against their wishes. But some of the time, you're doing it in protest, and this isn't one of those times.
It feels so, like, to me, this isn't a legal issue. Like, it could be that this whole thing is legal. But this, to me, is an ethical issue. Like, this is just wrong.
Which part to you is more of an ethical issue? The fact that they copied it or the fact that they sued the Beastie Boys?
The whole thing. Mm-hmm. You're not talking about, you know, some asshole who wrote with some terribly misogynistic asshole mm-hmm. who's getting his comeuppance here. Like that to me is like a good use of parody. But you're talking about Adam Yauch. Mm-hmm. A guy who died less than 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. Fucking beloved human being. Like, there were people in this office crying when he died.
Was it you?
Shut up, Jesse. And
it was.
It just seems like, and he very clearly stated, hey, this I don't want things like this to happen with my stuff. And regardless of, and it just, it feels like you're a bad person for doing it. And I know that you can't, like, this isn't the law, but I don't think this is about the law. I think this is about decency.
Well, so few things can be about the law. Like, the law is thermonuclear, which I mispronounced, but I'm going with it. If you have to get the law involved in an issue, it's because two people so drastically disagree on what is moral that it's time to bring in a third party. And it's, I mean, and maybe this is one of those cases, but really this should be one of those situations where the community at large agrees one way or the other. This is admissible or this is inadmissible. And that's why we, you know, get our panties in a bunch on the internet, is because we're all just expressing our moral outrage at something before it has to get written into law. Because if something has to be written into law, it's like murder is bad, but murder is really convenient if it's not illegal. Like, it's a good way to solve a lot of your problems.
It's, yeah.
So you have to make it illegal because, you know.
Mike knows that all too well.
This is a good time to talk about another one of our sponsors, Jesse.
Oh, is it? Let me pull up my notes, Mike.
You know who I hope it is?
Who?
I hope it's I Want My Name.
Well, Mike, it's your lucky day. Today's episode of Let's Make Mistakes is brought to you by I Want My Name, which provides you with painless domain management. There are endless domain possibilities with extensions like .io, .my, and .name.
I'm going to get mule raid.io.
Are you? Well, You should use I Want My Name, which features one-click domain installation to more than 100 of the best platforms on the web, including Squarespace, Google Apps, and bit.ly link shortening. Let's Make Mistakes listeners get 10% off their first domain purchase at iwantmyname.com/goatcam, which is Mike's at-home webcam.
That's my home security system. So here's an incident that happened to me a couple years ago.
Yeah.
I think it was a couple years at this point. So I do these dumb word paintings.
Oh, yeah. Like, Let's Make Better Mistakes Tomorrow?
Yeah. The one in the Twitter book. Mm-hmm. The one that, never mind.
It's going to be great in the movie.
Well, maybe they'll have my name attached to it by the time they do the movie. One of the paintings that I did was, and a lot of them are like song lyrics. And I did one that was a Mountain Goat song. Mm-hmm. So I do these things. They're huge. They're like 30 by 40. They're big. And then my friend Jen Beckman, who runs 20 by 200, which is back now, by the way.
Oh, is it?
Yes. She said, hey, let's make prints. And I said, oh, wow, fantastic. Let's make prints. And she said, let's make prints of that one. And it was the Mountain Goats one. And all of a sudden, this lyric that somebody else wrote and I painted was being manufactured in the hundreds. And people were buying them for like $20 a pop. And to me, and I was thinking, wow, this is great. People are buying this thing I made. And then I get a tweet from John Darnielle, the guy from the Mountain
Goats.
I
met him. He's lovely.
He is a lovely human being. And this whole scenario made him even more lovely for me. He said, what's the deal? These are my lyrics. And I said, I know. I love this song. So I painted it. And he said, yeah, I know, but it's my lyric.
May I ask which one it is?
We are going to make it through this year if it kills us.
Okay.
And he says, yeah, I know, but it's my lyric. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I got it. I got that I had totally screwed up. That it had, like, it was one thing for me to, like, take this lyric that, you know, meant something to me and even, like, even do a painting of it and then, like, you know, hang it in my house or file it away or whatever. I think that would have been okay. I hope John thinks that would have been okay. But I think it's the minute that I said, go ahead and run hundreds of prints of these and sell them for $20 a pop. Mm-hmm. And that became not okay. And after that conversation with him, I realized that that was not okay.
Well, it's indistinguishable from him, to him, for a super fan making a piece of art to some sleazy guy just, you know, typesetting a lyric in Arial Black and printing it.
Say Arial Black, you dick.
And like, and printing it off to make a buck.
Sure, and I get that. At the moment, I was just so caught up with my head up my own ass that I was thinking about me and how great it felt for me to be selling prints.
But that's normal to make mistakes about that kind of stuff.
Right, but the thing is, He could have not been that guy. Mm-hmm. He could have come in and said, this guy is making money off my lyric. I'm contacting my lawyer right now and I'm hitting him with a lawsuit. Mm-hmm. And he had every right to do that.
Well,
and he didn't.
Yeah, he did.
He did mm-hmm. exactly what the Beastie Boys did in this case, which was to just say, hey, what's up with this?
Mm-hmm. And you didn't have Gabe at the ready to countersue?
Honestly, I was freaking out because, oh my God, here's this guy that is like, it's like one of my favorite bands and I made him mad. And that felt, and I didn't want to do that. And he was also right. And when I explained the whole scenario to him, well, here's how it came about. And he actually said, well, you know, if you just put a little credit next to the print and about where it came from, that would be fine, which I did. And then I just decided, you know what, I shouldn't sell these anyway, credit or not. It just felt dirty at that point. Mm-hmm. But he was incredibly cool about it and understanding. And I was grateful for that.
Well, I think, I mean, and this is like always a great life lesson, I guess, unless you're dealing with Goldie Blocks, that other people are humans and often they don't know what they're doing either. And everybody's just trying to make sense of the world. And if you just settle it like a normal human being and apologize and try and resolve it without suing people, then you can actually get a lot more done a lot quicker that way.
Apologies are so hard.
I know, because I'm thinking about like if Pacific Helm were to, lovingly make some sort of like a fan art type thing and release it in the form of an app, which I could totally see us doing, because like when you're just being funny and making things, it is easy to just kind of like let that slip and just get excited about something and put it out into the world. Like if somebody were to contact us and be like, hey, this is my thing, you guys can't do that, my immediate reaction would be like, take it down and apologize as fast as you can. And like, that is the first reaction. Like maybe let Gabe know what has happened just so that he is aware of it. But like, don't, like, I don't know. It just seems like mean to.
Yeah. And I mean, if we were to follow the Goldie Blocks model for dealing with this, like John would have come to me and said, hey, what's the deal with this? I'm suing you, John.
Yeah.
Screw you.
That's just not nice. And I guess now, because I did read a little bit about this before I came on, because I know that you were just so passionate about it, Mike.
So we actually do prep for the show amazingly.
Well, yeah. I mean,
she read about it on the cab ride over. I'm sorry, the limo ride over.
It was just a normal taxi. But it really seems like the divide is people trying to, or at least some people justifying it by being like, well, this is a company that's like helping young women empower themselves. And that's great. But
so the ends justify the means.
Yeah, but it just doesn't have, I just don't think that that has anything to do with the offense made.
No, like, it really doesn't.
It's like a, I don't know. It's just a fallacy.
And is this what you want to be known for? I mean, if you're making toys, do you really want to be known for your lawsuit against somebody, or do you want to be known for the goddamn toys you're making?
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
I mean, this isn't how you get people to think about your products and go, oh yeah, I remember them. They're great.
I think that there's like a certain underdog mentality that people have sometimes that makes them think that they get a free pass for doing other things. Like because they are doing the Lord's work, they can go fuck other shit up.
But also is that underdog mentality where you, a venture funded whatever, yeah. And okay, I'm talking out my ass. I don't know how these people are funded.
They are
Kickstarter, I think.
Well, is it an underdog mentality or is it an entitlement mentality?
Well, I think it's entitlement that comes from the, I don't know.
I think they would look at some rock stars and think that rock stars have tons of money.
Yeah.
And imagine that they're David and Goliath in the situation.
Mm-hmm. And then the big man came knocking on their door. And they threw a pebble, and then Beastie Boys were like, why would you do that? That hurts me.
By the way, Felix Salmon wrote a really great piece in Reuters about this, which I want to make sure that we link to as well.
Oh, all right.
Mike, can I ask you a question about your art?
Sure.
You say it's 30 by 40. That's inches, I take it, not yes. Feet? Okay.
Inches.
Do you project that and then paint around the projection, or are you doing all the letter forms by hand?
No, I print it out, and then I tape everything back up. I use graphite and then I turn it over and use graphite and turpentine to turn it into carbon paper, basically. Mm-hmm. And then tape it over a large drawing sheet and just sit there and trace it.
Okay.
I trace my art.
I asked because I want to do exactly the same thing. I had a song lyric that I appreciate a great deal, and I got another artist to letter it for me because I don't letter for shit. This wonderful artist named Teresa Wozniak in New York, she did the Name Your Layers thing that is on our fridge.
Ah.
So I got her to do this lyric for me, and I want to like blow it up. so it can be on a canvas on my wall. But how one goes about that, I have no idea. If I try and sell it, I'm going to piss off two artists.
Do you need to borrow an opaque projector?
I'd love to.
I have one.
Boys Club.
What, do you not have an opaque projector, Jesse?
No, I don't.
I suppose we should take a break for another sponsor.
Who's our next sponsor, Mike?
Rarewire, Jesse.
What do they do?
Well, are you interested in building true native mobile apps?
Yes.
Well, then you should check out Rarewire's App Creation Studio. Rarewire was built for designers and developers. You know that others wrap websites in a native wrapper, but those apps are limited.
It's true.
Yeah. Rarewire's platform creates native content that results in powerful, fast apps for iOS and Android. And the XML-based language is easy to write because it looks like HTML. And there's nothing to install. It's all cloud-based, and developers can test their apps immediately on mobile devices. With native integration to Facebook, Twitter, Salesforce, Flurry, and more, it's easy to build powerful, connected apps. And the best part? What's the best part, Jesse?
Is it free?
It is completely free to learn, build, and test. It's only $99 to publish, and there's no credit card required until then. Visit rarewire.com/LMM to learn more and sign up today. Thanks, Rarewire.
Thanks.
Can I ask you guys something weird?
Sure.
How do you feel about segregation? So
that's the best question we've ever gotten on the show.
It's Lady Vember. Mm-hmm. And we all see a lot of weird shit happen on the internet with ladies.
Well, I don't know what you're watching on the internet, Clarko.
Mostly just watching you. You have a very entertaining Instagram feed because you have like teenage girls who want to steal your username.
Oh, so many.
And you have a lot of like dorky guys going, "You're pretty."
Yeah.
I'm out.
So I get this, like, my gut tells me that a lot of like the weird behavior shit that happens, whether it's between men and ladies or people of different races or different sexual orientations, happens just because of like a lack of experience.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you've never met a gay person in your life, you assume that they're totally different to you in every way.
Well, they are. I'm just kidding. I have a lot of gay friends, which makes it okay for me to mm-hmm. make fun of them.
I have gay friends.
Jesse Char.
I have gay friends.
So people act dumb because they don't have any experience with people who are different to them. And it's this like white bread town problem.
I just want to say that I was kidding about what I said because a lot of people really take what I say seriously.
You don't have gay friends?
Yeah, I don't.
So we have this thing in schools and in hospitals and in gyms where like men and women are kept separate like their entire lives.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have no experience with the opposite sex, they just can seem like a completely different species. This can go to extremes. I know a lot of gay guys who like do not spend any time with women at all because they're not socializing with women because they have no sexual interest in women mm-hmm. or for whatever reason you choose to not socialize with women. So they treat him like a completely different species. And like disdain comes with that, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
So like what would happen if you put like elementary school kids all in the same change room and just said, get used to it? Like,
I mean, I think change rooms specifically is a problem just because like maybe not at an elementary level. I don't know.
I mean, elementary school is the least harmful
yeah,
level.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you guys want to try this now?
I'm not wearing any underpants.
But I mean, I guess like it becomes a real problem like 6th and 7th grade, right?
Well, it would today. But if you like ran this experiment for a few generations, surely it would go away.
Well, what would go away?
The weirdness.
Yeah.
Feeling like, weird about it.
Arousal? Like
no, that wouldn't go away. But like if you were really like forced to socialize with people who are different to you,
mm-hmm.
surely you would get to know them a little better and you would treat them more like people.
Well, what is this sexual arousal about?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying like changing rooms specifically, like if you're all getting naked in a room together. like, and you're all 13, like, I just can't imagine that that's not going to be weird.
Well, you know, but, you know, like, that at the changing room at the gym, like, over half of the dudes in there are gay, and they're not hanging out sexually aroused because they're into each other.
Yeah, but you are.
I absolutely am. It's just that nobody can notice it.
But also, like, you put up a curtain or something. Like, if you want, like, a little privacy curtain while you're naked. But most of the time in the change room, you're not naked.
Yeah.
And bathrooms, like, with the exception of urinals, men's and women's bathrooms are identical.
Mm-hmm.
Again, to your Ally McBeal reference from earlier.
Yeah. I mean, I really don't care about having gender-divided bathrooms. I think that that's, like, whatever. I guess urinals make a difference because then you're just hanging out for the world to see. But I think that that's all. I mean, not to, like, get weird, but, like, I think boy bathroom culture is very different than girl bathroom culture.
Yeah, and if we all had to share one, would it work out for the better? I don't know. I feel like, of course, it feels awkward because we were raised this way. But
yeah.
Is there a way that makes it less awkward and we can all be a little better friends for it?
I don't know. I still feel like it's awkward. But I don't know if I can explain why. Because, like, I don't feel awkward around boys, like, in a normal setting. But, like, I also don't necessarily want to get naked in front of everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even really like it in girls' locker rooms.
He's your guest.
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean, is this all about you just wanting to see ladies, Clarko?
Yeah, all the time.
You look at other guys' dongs in the urinal?
No, that's weird.
You never look at another guy's dong in the urinal.
You've got a job to do.
You stare straight ahead.
Why are you looking around?
See, I mean, the problem, like, I don't know, lady locker rooms, it's just like you've got a lot more stuff that's like closer to eye level. And if you're short, then it's just like unavoidable. It's just all right there. Seen some weird nipples.
Haven't we all?
Am I allowed to say that on this podcast?
Well, okay, so what's the weirdest nipples you've ever seen,
no.
Jesse?
So it's shaped like Alaska?
What?
The weirdest nipple?
No, I don't want to talk about it.
I have no idea where this is going.
I don't either.
You brought him on.
No, I mean, I am like, I just feel fully pro just having everybody together for things other than naked time.
And I guess this is like, this is an odd room to be asking this question because you, Jesse, have like a very mixed gender friendship group.
Yeah.
And Mike, you have a very mixed gender friendship group and workspace.
I have no friends.
And that's...
Which is great.
That's pretty mixed.
Mike, that is just not true.
I've seen you smile on Instagram with people at brunch.
Yeah, you brunch.
I do not brunch.
I don't believe it. Yeah, I mean, we all have mixed gender friends. Hmm.
But, you know, there are a lot of people, maybe even the majority of people, who have extremely, like, single gender groups of friends. And, like, I also bring this up because I was at a wedding recently. And when you're standing up on the wedding stage or whatever it's called, mm-hmm. You're divided by gender. Mm-hmm. You have the bride and all the bridesmaids and the groom and all the groomsmen.
Mm-hmm.
If you're at a straight wedding, sure.
Clark, yeah, and this was in a church. You know, I'm surprised they let me in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what's weird is, like, in this case, is that one of the groomsmen was the bride's brother. So,
I mean, you know that you are going to be one of my bridesmaids, right?
Yeah, but okay. Do I have to stand on the groom's side?
No, you're going to stand on my side.
Cool.
Because I'm building a team.
Good.
Do you have an announcement for us, Jesse?
No, I'm just locking it in right now.
Nice.
All right.
But it seems really weird, but like...
Weddings are weird because they're just packed, they're just chock full of strange traditions that I don't understand, nor do I support. I mean, weddings, fine. But all the junk about them being average cost of $20,000 and stupid ugly dresses that you make your friends wear so you look hotter. And I don't understand that. Renting chairs, I don't want to deal with that. But you're on my side.
Mm. I know you like renting chairs. I've seen you organize parties.
I know. I've rented so many chairs. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't thought about this enough, but my gut feeling says naked time, split them up. Other times, don't split them up.
I hate, like, looking at dicks.
When I think about dicks bathrooms, I think about it as being in an isolated chamber, so it's okay, because then it's not naked times, but I guess for dudes...
Do Australians circumcise?
Predominantly not. It's more like Europe, I guess, where it's like mostly not circumcised. But they did in the 70s a lot. So there's like a transitional period where I guess a lot of people are like, should we do that to our boy so that he matches his dad? Or should we not?
Well, also, wait a minute. Like, how can he be matching his dad if they weren't doing it before?
They were doing it in the past. And then it, like, as it trailed off and as more and more doctors refused to do it, I guess a lot of people had to make the decision. Like, do we have that awkward conversation where it's like, why doesn't daddy's junk look like my junk?
Why are you and your kid's junk in the same room at the same time exposed? That's weird.
I showered with my dad for like for a while.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. I didn't even talk to my dad, so.
I feel like I'm actually, I.
Just the show you wanted to have, Jesse?
No, I'm, this is what ladies like hearing about, right? I don't know. I know that a lot of ladies love talking about circumcision for some reason. More, I've only heard lady opinions about this subject.
Guys don't typically have opinions about it because they don't deal in man junk that much. Well, so, yeah, straight guys.
So what are the ladies' opinions on circumcision?
Oh, ladies are just all against it now. That's like the thing to be. It's like, I feel like they're for it when... when they're the ones that are dealing with it. But if it's like about a child, then they're like, they don't want it to I don't know. Just let me just be awkward right now.
They're for it when they're the ones dealing with it.
Can you elaborate on this? Like when, getting really awkward right now. Like when face to face with.
Face to face.
Can we just end the show right here? when faced with one, from the information that I have gathered, they prefer it to be circumcised. But then you talk about circumcising babies, and they get all sad and defensive about it. And I don't know. I just didn't even know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know it was a thing until recently.
It does seem like a very cruel thing to do to somebody who's just been through the hell of birth.
Well, it's all they know. In that case, you could do a lot of stuff to them.
That's true.
You give them some great baby tattoos.
Yeah. I don't know. This is just a subject that I just know. This is not really my wheelhouse.
Male circumcision.
Yeah, no, it's not a common talking point that I'm faced with.
I don't have a kid, so I haven't faced that yet.
Yeah, I don't either. I just have a stupid iPhone pet.
Is he circumcised?
Probably. I don't care. Yeah, it's cleaner, right? I don't know.
You brought him on. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, who I'm sure are really excited to have sponsored this show. RareWire, I Want My Name, and Typekit. And if you are looking to sponsor Let's Make Mistakes or any other Mule Radio show, and I hope you want to.
Based on what you've heard today.
Please go to muleradio.net/sponsor.
Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Yes, have a fantastic... Do you celebrate Thanksgiving? There's nothing to be thankful for.
We're doing Hanukkah this year.
We're doing it this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, in the Southern Hemisphere, we don't.
Oh, it's a terrible hemisphere.
Too warm. No turkeys.
Clarko, thank you so much for coming on the show after I told you that you were going to be on.
Thanks for inviting me to Lady Vember.
Oh, anytime. Well, maybe until next Lady Vember.
Or until next month.
We'll be back next week with...
with Man-Sember?
Man talk.
Unlike what we talked about today, which was just straight up naked ladies and penises.
You pick the guest.
This is what we talk about in my living room, just all day.
Not surprised.
Making it sound really weird, Marco.
Oh, no, that's not weird at all.
All right. Have a great holiday, everyone. Happy Hanukkah.